You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So, we're starting this series. As I said earlier, it is called Word the Sequel. And the reason we're calling it Word and the reason it's a sequel, let me explain both parts. First of all, we're calling it Word because we are looking at the Word of God, not just because I like to break out my 80s gear, which I do. But we're also calling it Word because we're looking at the Word of God. We're going to be doing an overview of the Word of God. The reason we're calling it Word, the sequel, is that about 2 years ago in July, we did a series called Word. And it was the first part. And it was an overview of the entire Bible in 1 month, in 4 weeks. Today, and over the next 3 weeks after this, we're going to be doing the sequel because we're going to do an overview, but we're going to focus just on the New Testament. And my goal by the end of this series is that you guys have a better picture of why and how it fits together. Now, if you were here for Word the first time, some of this is going to be review, and that's okay, but there's going to be some new things that we're going to get into over the next few weeks. But again, we're going to be focusing mostly on the New Testament, just so you can see kind of big picture. We're not going to look at the little stories inside, just big picture kind of stuff. So, a couple things you need to know. First of all, when you walked in here, each of you should have received a little paper letter, a white letter. If you did not get one, David has some right there, and Jason has some there. If you did not get a letter, please raise your hand, and we can get one to you. The second thing is, you should have a handout on your seat or nearby. If you do not have a handout nearby, and please check in front of you and behind you, but if you do not get a handout, we also have extra handouts available as well. So, get a handout and get a piece of a letter for your piece of paper. All right, everybody have a handout? There are some pens available if you do not have a writing utensil, or you can just like imprint it really hard on your face, and the toner should come off. But you might need to use like a friend or a neighbor to do the other side of the paper because you don't want to have them layered over top of each other. But if you're pushing the paper against your face, I'll understand what you're doing, or you're sleeping. Why don't we kick on the house lights here, and let's do some things. So that's what we're doing. Today we're going to look at Word the Sequence. We're going to do an overview of the overview of the overview of the New Testament. And so this is going to be a bigger picture, and we'll zoom down a little bit. But I just want to give you a little idea of how the Bible is put together. And we'll talk about this when we're near the end. But look at me here. Today and over the next few weeks, we're going to learn a lot of stuff. And if you walk out of here this end of this month, saying, I know more stuff, therefore I am more like Jesus, you're wrong. Now, I know that sounds kind of harsh, and we're, you know, well, why waste a month doing all this? I want us to get a big picture so that later, and as you study the Bible on your own, as we teach in here, as you learn in Ignition Kids, that you will be able to say, oh, that's why that matters. That's why it was a big deal, and we'll see in a little bit. Why it was a big deal that Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman? That's a big deal. Why did Paul go to Rome? That's a big deal. But if we walk out of this series, and I want you to get this, especially if this is your first time with us, if you're new, I don't care about us knowing more stuff. Knowledge does not get you to Jesus. Knowledge does not get you closer to heaven or anything like that. The issue is your heart and your relationship with Him. So I need to make sure that we're aware of that, that you don't walk out of here saying, oh, well, I can tell you where all the locations are in the bodies of water in the Gospels. Great. So can other people. And some people that don't know the bodies of water. And if that's all you know, you're still going to hell. It's got to be an issue of understanding that Jesus' death on the cross mattered for you. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I just want you to get that. I don't want you to miss that knowledge is the issue. Knowledge is important. This is going to help us for other things. But I want you to get that. So, make sense? Everybody say yes? Okay, because this is going to be interactive. This is going to be a little bit different than my normal boring talking. This is going to be a little bit more interactive, so I need you to help me out. Are you with me? See, this is not good. We don't have much time. So when I say, are you with me, you're going to say? Okay, good. Now, here's what we're going to do. Each of you have a letter, and we're going to play a little bit of human Scrabble. Okay? You're going to use the letter that you have, and by using your voice and your feet, you're going to get up and move around the room to be able to do what I'm about to tell you. Now, understanding that there are going to be some people left out of each different rounds, and I understand because we don't all have the same letters, and that's okay. God made us all different. So, But you're going to have to do some things. And so what I'm going to do is you're going to have in a moment a word on the screen that is all about word. And you are going to have to find other people that using your letter and their letters that can come together to make that word. Once you have the word, please kind of stand in a row so I can read it wherever you might be. And then just kind of raise your hands together so we know that you've got a word. Now, this isn't necessarily a competition to see who's got one. Well, it kind of is who's first, but we're not going to stop with just the first person to get one. So a number of you can try to put this together. Does that make sense? So if the word is duh, D-U-H, and you have a U, you are looking for a D and an H, okay? Now, big brothers, raise your hand if you're a big brother in here. Raise your hand if you're a big brother. Raise them high. Now listen to me, big brothers. If you see someone littler than you that has the letter that you want, you do not push them over and take their letter. Is that understood, Eric? Okay, good. All right. So here's what we, everybody get it? So these are some we're going to spell the 80s. These are 80s words, by the way. The first word that we're going to spell is a straight up 80s word, and that is fresh. So get up, find people so that you can spell fresh. There's no F. No F? What the? Who made this stupid game? All right, well. Oh, there's an F. There's a real F. All right, so let's see what you've got here. F. No, it has to be in the right order. We can spell F. Where's an R? R-E-S-H. All right, we have fresh. All right, good job. Okay, now I know some of you weren't moving because you didn't have the right letter, and I get that. That's cool. We're going to get everybody moving. Here's your next 80s word. The next one is radical. Radical, go.
Radical has a D, not a T, just to clarify.
All right, there's one radical. Do we have any more free radicals? R-A-D-I-C... Wait, Alacred? Alacred. Radical. Radical. What do you have? How many letters do you have?
We need
another A. Radicola? Oh.
Ricola. Radical. C-A.
Another radical. All right, awesome. And what we have, like, oh, you just totally got abandoned. So you're just radical. Radical. All right, you guys can go. Good job. We got some radicals out there. I mean, we do meet in a garage. We're that radical church. Anyway, another 80s word, of course, and that is awesome. Go. Awesome. I think we have W's. All right, there's an awesome. Any more awesomes? There aren't many M's and W's around here, so if you're an M, you're a very important person. All right. Only one W. Okay. All right. Now, you guys can kind of scatter. Here we got one awesome. It looks like there's only one W. That W is going to be important later, just saying. So don't leave the room if you happen to have a baby. Please, do not leave the room. Okay. So now all of you, there are a bunch of sitting downs now because you're like, my letter never got picked. That's okay. I listened to Scott. You know, nobody wants to be the last one picked. And you're not going to be the last one picked because now we're going to have to be a little more creative. I'm not giving you the word. What we need now, and this has got to tie into the 80s, and you have to explain, you have to give me a quick explanation of why, but I need a five-letter 80s word. A five-letter 80s word. Go. A word that has to do with the 80s that's five letters. Dance. All right. Dance. That'll work. Okay. You're using your own creativity here. Now we're going to get a little bit more complicated, okay? And we are now going to do what's next. An eight-letter word that has to do with the 80s. Go! Thriller! All right, very 80s. Yeah, okay. All right, last one, because I know this is really hard for our brains and all. It's rainy, it's a Sunday morning. But the last one we need is a 10-letter 80s word. Go! All right, so stop. Hammer time. All right, hammer time. 10-letter word. Very good. Okay, so what I need now is I need to see the word, two words, Old Testament. Go. Okay, everybody else at the Old Testament, please stay there. If the rest of you could have a seat. Now, Old Testament, could I have you just make a little chain and bring the O up here? And you just follow along, follow along, follow along, just so everybody can see the letters. Okay, we've got here the word Old Testament, O-L-D-T-E. Hold that up, Isaac. We need to see it. S-T-A-M-E-N-T. Okay, everybody see those words? Yes? Good. Okay, now, question for you. How many letters are in the word old? Three. Okay, so there's three letters in the word old. How many letters in the word testament? Nine. There are nine letters in the word testament, right? O-L-D. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, right? Do you know how many books there are in the Old Testament? 39. If you do 3 and 9, the number of books in the Old Testament is 39. So if you need to know how many books are in the Old Testament, you need to remember how many letters there are, because O-L-D is 3, and the Testament is 9, so 3 and 9 is 39. All right? Makes sense? Got it? So you have a piece of paper there you can write down. A little space you can write, 3 and 9 equals 39. Therefore, there are 39 books in the OT. Okay, now, I could be really tedious about this, but I'm not. Could the three of you please have a seat? Could I have new? I need new. Sorry, we're kicking out the old. Out with the old, in with the new. But you have two letters. I need you to only have one. All right, I got an N. E. Oh, we've got an N. All right, we already have an N. Thank you, Ellie. You can sit down. No N. It's a no N situation. Okay. Okay, now we've got new. So, how many letters in the word new? Three. Yes, definitely. And the letters in the Testament are? Nine. So, how many books are in the New Testament? No, not 39, because 3 times 9 equals 27. So, therefore, 3 times 9, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 3 times 9 equals 27. Therefore, there are 27 books in the New Testament. So if anybody asks you, how many books in the Old Testament? You say, well, I don't know. How many letters are in 3, 3, 39, 39? 39 books in the Old Testament. They ask you how many in the New Testament. You say, I don't know. Let me see. N-E-W, 3, Testament 9, 3 times 9, 27. So that is the number. And if you add 39 and 27, you get this fancy big old number. It's also a palindrome, which is 66. There are 66 books in the Bible. So there's just a quick little device, little way to remember how many books are in the Old and New Testament. Thank you, New and Old Testaments. You may have a seat. And that's just the introduction. Woo-wee. Here we go. So, I want to talk to you about the flow of the New Testament. How is the New Testament put together? Again, that's all you get for Old Testament. There are 39 books. But now we're going to go in and look at the entire New Testament. And I want to talk to how is the New Testament put together. All 27 of these books. First of all, the books were written, the New Testament was written by about 9 different authors. Okay, so that's on your sheet there. About 9 different authors. The reason we say about 9, and let me just show you if I can do it off the top of my head because my Kindle crashed and I don't have them all. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The 4 Gospels, we'll talk more about them next week. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts was written by Luke. And then you've got Paul. So Paul wrote most of the New Testament. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul. Then, after Paul, you've got Hebrews. Hebrews is the question mark. Nobody really knows who wrote Hebrews. Many people say it was Paul. Other people say not Paul. So there you go. Many and some. But, so you've got those 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul. Then you've got James wrote a book. And Peter wrote a book. And Jude wrote a book. And then, yeah, the 9th would be the questionable author of Hebrews who wrote that. So you've got 9 different authors writing the New Testament. And that's all you need to know right now. We'll break that down and get into that in more detail over the next few weeks. But understand that. And also, and this isn't in the notes, but the New Testament, it's not chronological. And again, we'll talk about that next time. Which means you can't start at Matthew and read all the way through to Revelation and think it goes in sequential order. By the way, the New Testament books are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd. Did I say Romans? Yeah, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, freaking out. Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. So, those are the 27 books of the New Testament. It's been written, the amount of time covered in those 27 books is about 100 chronological years. Now, if you remember anything way back from the first part of the Word series a couple years ago, the Old Testament covers thousands of years. The New Testament All that is written there covers a period of about 100 years, written by 9 different people. And again, we'll talk about that more in the next few weeks. So, make sense so far? Say yes. If it doesn't make sense, say yes. That's like a total setup. What are you supposed to say there? Okay, so the New Testament, again, this is review from a few years ago, but the New Testament has 2 major divisions. There are 2 major divisions determining how the New Testament comes together. The first part, the first major heading in terms of where the books fit, is what we're calling history. And this is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. The first 5 books of the New Testament cover history. And even those are not chronological. And when we say history, what we mean is that those books talk about things that happened. It's telling you the story about some guy. What was his name? Anybody remember his name? What was that guy's name? Jesus. Yeah, that was his name. About that guy, Jesus. That was what the history was about, and about the early church. And again, we'll talk about these over the next few weeks. But the history books were what you would read like you would read a history book today. Those first 5 of the books tell you the stuff that happened in terms of, you know, one day Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, which you know where that is because we'll find out in just a moment. But anyway, when you read that, that's what's going on. So, the second major division of the New Testament is what are called letters. A fancy, fancy church word is epistles, which has nothing to do with guns or using the restroom. So, an epistle is just another word for a letter. And these were letters that were written, and again, we'll talk about this as the last week of the series, but we're going to talk about these letters and why they were written. But each letter was written by someone for a specific purpose. And, for example, there was a church in Rome, and so Paul wrote a letter because there was an issue in the church in Rome that he needed to deal with. So he wrote a letter that we call Romans, because it was the letter to the church in Rome. The church in Corinth was called, there are 2 letters there, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So, yeah, and then Timothy, there's other things. We'll talk about that later. But they were all letters written for a specific purpose, sometimes to a church, sometimes to an individual, that are all part of our Bible today. They're all part of our New Testament. And we believe that all of that, all Scripture, is God-breathed, which means all of it is inspired. All 27 of those books were given by God directly to those authors to write them down so that we may grow, so that we may come to know not just the knowledge, but come to understand the heart of Jesus and what he did and why he died on the cross. So, the 2 major divisions. What's the first major division? Okay, I want you all to say history. The second major division is? Letters. History, letters. So that covers, that's basically all the New Testament is going to fit into either history or letters. And of course, the letters are the following 22 books. Romans through Revelation. And yes, Revelation is in fact a letter. So, then if you break down the letters, there are actually 3 subdivisions under the letters to help you understand. And again, this is overview stuff because I want you to get, oh, that makes sense. Oh, that's why this person was talking that way. So within the letters, so the history is 5, but within letters, there are 3 subdivisions underneath the area of letters. The first one is Paul's letters to churches. Paul's letters, P-A-U-L, the Apostle Paul. He was previously called Saul before the road to Damascus. And we're going to talk about the road to Emmaus later. But God changed his heart. He was a guy that hated Christians. He was actually having them thrown in prison. He was actually having them killed. God totally changed him in a miraculous, amazing, crazy, cool way. And he then began planting churches. And we're going to talk about where he planted these churches. But he planted churches all over the Mediterranean area. And so then afterwards he came back and these churches he planted, he wrote letters to them. And so Paul wrote letters to these different churches. The church in Thessalonica, we call the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. 2 letters. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So the church in Corinth, again, the church in Ephesus, the church at Rome, the church at Galatia. So those are Paul's letters that he wrote to churches because he said there's an issue with the church as a whole. The second subdivision is Paul's letters to people. So all of these were letters. Again, they're all part of that category of letters. But Paul wrote these 2 sections. So the first 9 books of that section are Paul's letters to churches. The second 4 are Paul's letters to people. 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Paul wrote a letter to Timothy. And that's what the book was about. And that's what the book is. It's his letter that he wrote to Timothy with some issues that he needed to deal with. And again, we'll talk more about that later. But just for now, understand that Paul wrote those letters to those people. So we said earlier, there's 9 different authors. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John wrote the 4 Gospels. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He wrote letters to churches. He wrote letters to people. Then the third subdivision, it's still letters, but these are what we call general letters or general epistles. And the reason we call them general has nothing to do with an army, has nothing to do with the fact that they're not really that important, that they're kind of vague, but that they're written by different people to different people for different reasons. So, for example, James wrote a letter, and we call it James. John wrote three letters. Actually, he wrote four. He wrote John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. But and he wrote a gospel, too, but that's for another week. But all that to say that these were letters. The reason they're not called Paul's letters, Paul didn't write them. They were written by different people, and of course Hebrews is in that category because we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Anyway, I wonder who wrote the book of Hebrews? Okay, so you've got two major divisions. What are the major divisions? You first of all have the what? Major divisions, major. We're talking about the history, and then the second major division is the letters. Okay, within letters, you've got three categories. The first category within letters is Paul's letters to churches. Very good. And the second subdivision is okay. And then the third subdivision is very good. So let's look at it on a chart here. And I'm not sure how I did this chart, but this will kind of give you maybe if you're a visual learner, this might help it out a little bit. So first of all, you got five books there: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. First five books of the New Testament. What do we call those five books? History. This is all review over and review over and review over so that you walk away saying, hey, I know that now. So, the first five books are called history. Then you've got all these. And what do we call that whole category there? Letters. Those are all letters that were written. Now, within those letters, that's the rest of the New Testament, you've got the first category on the left there is what? Paul's letters to churches. And why are they called Paul's letters? Because he wrote them. All right, Paul wrote them. Now, this the middle category. Who wrote those letters? Paul also. Now, who did he write them to? People. Paul's letters to people. And then, all the way on the right side, you've got letters that were not written by Paul, so we call them the general letters. Right. Not to be confused with the General Lee. Anyway, not to be confused with General Lee, who's... Anyway. That is how the New Testament is put together. So when you look, when you're reading, say you're reading in Galatians chapter 3, you can know now, oh, this was a letter that Paul wrote to a church in a place called Galatia. That wasn't me doing a fancy dance because this is where I'm standing, is Galatia. He wrote a letter to the church in Galatia. Wow, I need to speed up. Okay, so that is the overview of how the New Testament flows, how it puts together, how it's put together all the pieces. Make sense? Say yes? Good, thank you. So, now let's move on. Let's talk about water, agua. Before you, on the floor here, we have a map of the Mediterranean area, the early church and gospel area that was set up. And so I want to walk you through the water. Now, all of the water, the bodies of water, are review from the Word series years ago. And maybe if you weren't here, that's fine. And if you were here, you probably forgot anyway. So let's review. There's a few things we want to talk about. Over here, this is kind of the most important part. And that's over there on the left there. Okay, the bottom left, I'm sorry, on the right. The bottom right-hand corner. This is sort of the main area of your New Testament, especially your Gospels. And, of course, this area also is pretty much all the Old Testament takes place back in that general direction. We've got Babylon out there, and we've got Persia and all that. So we've got some bodies of water here. First of all, there is a body of water at the top of the thing there. You see it right there. Do you see that? Okay, good. You got a body of water right down there, and that body of water, I have an arrow that'll come here, but that is the Sea of Galilee. Do you see it? And I know, sorry about the red, I'm going to change that next time. But the very top little circle here, this is the Sea of Galilee. Say Sea of Galilee. All right, you can write that on your map, draw it on there in the back, you have a little map. You can draw Sea of Galilee there. Now, there are three seas. Community, congregate, no, different sea. SEA. There are three SEAs. The first sea is the Sea of Galilee, and that's the top there of that little blob there. Then at the bottom, you've got a sea that is not doing so hot. It's not pretty much alive because we call it the Dead Sea. So the Dead Sea is down here. Now, there's a lot of other seas. If you actually go back down here, on your map at the very bottom. You actually have the Red Sea kind of down in that direction. But we're not talking about the Red Sea. That's not in the New Testament. That's Old Testament. So you've got the Sea of Galilee, and then you've got the Dead Sea. And so sea, and then the third sea is this big body of water. You guys are all drowning in it right now, or maybe you're on a cruise ship. Who knows? But you are in the Med Sea. So you've got the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, and the Med Sea. The reason we're calling it the Med Sea is because it rhymes with dead. Makes it easy to remember, but Med is short for Mediterranean, which is a whole lot harder to spell also. So Med Sea. So this is the Med Sea. You guys are not, you're in land. You are float, you're alive. Actually, you're not. You're kind of swimming. But yes, you guys are on land. You guys are on land. You guys are in the Med Sea. So those are the seas, the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, and the Med Sea. Any questions? Because I don't have time to answer it. Okay, then there's one more body of water, and that's the body of water that connects the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea, and that is the Jordan River. The Jordan River. Jordan River is kind of important. In the Old Testament, we saw the Jordan River get stopped as the Israelites passed through. Joshua was in charge then. In the New Testament, a guy named Jesus gets baptized there, and some other things happen in that area too. Jordan River is a very important part of your New Testament and your Old Testament history. So, Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea, Med Sea, Jordan River. Any questions? Okay. Places. So that's your bodies of water. Med Sea, Sea of Galilee, Dead Sea, Jordan River. You have some places in the New Testament. Now, we're going to talk about, there's five major areas, and they are I-G-A-G-I. I-G-A-G-I. Whichever way you go, whether you go from this way to that way or this way to that way, I-G-A-G-I. Everybody say I-G-A-G-I. It doesn't spell anything. I-G-A-G-I. But IGAGI is how you remember the major. Now, let me tell you something. There's plenty more here, and this map is not to scale. Okay? There's many more areas that are not, you know, if you have a map of it, if you have the back of your Bible, and you flip over and you're like, you didn't talk about those 78 different places. I know. I'm just talking about the main ones. But you have IGAGI. So the first main area, starting down here where you have the Dead Sea, the Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, this area is known as the Land of Israel. Israel. So write Israel on your map. It's important to know that place. Now, in a moment, we're going to zoom in on Israel, so leave some space there. But Israel is where, you know, the Old Testament, you had Jericho, you have all these different things that happened in the land of Israel. David was the king. Solomon was the king of Israel. But Israel, that's this body of, or this land body over here. Now, the New Testament definitely branches out because the church grows and God does some cool things and Jesus, you know, just lots of cool stuff we'll talk about later. But, so you got Israel here. Then you're next to IGAGI. Next body, or next landmass is up here. It's kind of north in the corner area there, up in that area. And this is G. This is Galatia. And here there was a church in Galatia. And Paul wrote a letter to the church in Galatia. And he guesses on the name of the letter. Galatians, yes. So this is the land, this is the area of Galatia. Again, not totally to scale, but up here is Galatia. I-G. Now, if you move over to this little, like, sticking out landmass, which is kind of like Turkey today. This is where Turkey is. Not because John is here. It has nothing to do with John being here that makes it a Turkey. But the land, the nation of Turkey. And this land here, congratulations, guys, by the way. Okay. This land here is called Asia. Asia. I-G-A. G-I, Asia. Now, sometimes it's called Asia Minor. It's under 18, can't drink, you know. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. But that is for New Testament terms, this is called Asia, even though we know that, like, all of this over here is called Asia in modern day. But at the time, this was Asia. I-G-A, Israel, Galatia, Asia. And then you've got this. You jump across the Med Sea here, and you've got this. This bit, body of land mass here that's all fancy, and you see there's like 6 billion islands there. I didn't include any of them. I'm sorry. I didn't want to. And this body of land, what do you call land mass? It's not a body of land. Just this land. This land mass. This land mass of land is called Greece. This is Greece. I-G-A-G. Greece. And you can remember Greece because if you look at it, kind of it's like it's all dripping down. See how Greece kind of runs down the map? Like, oh, it's making a mess. You guys are just all greasy. So this is Greece. Greece is kind of important. And then if you jump over the Mediterranean again to the boot, and we all know that the boot is Italy. I-G-A-G-I. Italy is the boot. And this is just the part of Italy. It goes way up here. And then you've got Europe up there. I still can't tell by scale if you're in Europe or in Italy still. But anyway, this is Italy. So those are your major land masses of land. So you've got Italy, Greece, Asia, Galatia. Did I miss one? Oh, Israel. There. Like, oh, he looks so stupid jumping like that. Yes, he does. Okay, so those are your land places. Now, what we're going to do... Woo, got to speed up. We're going to... Yes, we're going to zoom in. We're going to zoom in a little bit. I told you Israel is kind of important. So we're going to zoom in right now, and we're going to look at the land masses, the provinces that are in the land of Israel. So this is going to happen. All we're going to talk about here in the next few moments is going to take place right here in Israel. Okay, so there are four places, that provinces, if you will, that we're going to talk about in Israel, and they are this. The first one, now what's this sea here at the top? It's called the Sea of Galilee. So immediately to the left or the west of the Sea of Galilee, we have a land called Galilee. So in Israel, there's a province of Galilee. It's there on the left. I think we skipped something. Did that arrow come up first? All right, click it one more time. Yeah, I don't know where we are. Anyway, okay, that'll work. So you've got a landmass here. Now, if you're going north-south, down next to the Dead Sea, you've got a province in this area, and this is called Judea. Galilee, Judea. Okay? So the north is Galilee, by the Sea of Galilee. South is Judea. Now, watch what I'm going to do here. Pay close attention. I'm crossing the Jordan River. And I'm over here in an area on the east of the Jordan called Perea. So you've got Galilee, Judea, Perea. These are the three main Israelite provinces. That's where most good Jewish people lived. In between Galilee and Judea, across from Perea, is an area called Samaria. Now, this is important. Samaria. So you've got Galilee, Judea, Perea, Samaria. Say that with me. Galilee, Judea, Perea, Samaria. All right. This is important because Samaritans were not pure blood Jewish people. They were people that had intermarried during the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, which we'll talk about a little bit next week. They intermarried with other nations, and that was something that God told them not to do, that God forbid them to do that. And so they were kind of a mixed race, and therefore good Jewish people that lived in Galilee and Judea and Perea did not intermix with them. And so if someone was traveling from Galilee to Judea, they would actually go all the way over to Perea, and then come all the way back, so they did not have to be in the area of Samaria. And so then you've got this guy named Jesus meeting a woman at a well during the day in an area called Samaria, and his disciples are going, "What are you doing?" But that's the story you'll have to read on your own. Chapter 5 of John. Or is it 6? I think it's 5. So anyway, that's why. It's a big deal. They did not hang out with the Samaritans. So that's your landmass in Israel. So, now we're going to review. That's what all that was. We're supposed to review. So can you go to 18, slide 18. So let's review here, okay? You're going to help me. You're going to talk with me. Bodies of water. First of all, this one here is coming up with the arrow. Right here is called? That's together. We're going to call that the Sea of Galilee. Very good. Okay, then you've got another body of water here. Three seas, remember? Down here you've got called the? Dead Sea, right. And rhyming with Dead Sea, this entire body of water is called the Med Sea, the Mediterranean. And connecting the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea, you've got a river called the Jordan River. All right, so that's your bodies of water in the New Testament. Very good. Let's review the land masses. I-G-A-G-I. Yeah, is that right? So, starting down here, you got the land of Israel. Very good. And then the land of G is Galatia, very good. And then the land over here of Asia, very good. And then you've got this slimy place over here that's greasy. Greece, and then not really, the people aren't slimy. You know what I'm saying? Good food, too. Have you ever heard of the Greek? Okay. And then over here, you got an I. Italy, very good. Now, Rome is going to be a very important part. That's the capital of Italy, and that's the part where we'll see a lot in the couple weeks as we look at Paul and what he did. So, these are your New Testament places in terms of big land masses of land. And then you've got to zoom in down here on Israel. And in Israel, you've got four major areas. Starting in the north, you've got an area called... what's at the top? Galilee, very good. And then down south, you've got at the bottom, Judea. And I'm skipping the middle part. I'm going over to Perea. And then I'm coming back to the area, land of Samaria. Yeah, because that was not a place where people went. So, I've got 1 minute. I want to tell you a story. It's actually not my story. It's in the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 24. And I want to talk about the focus of the Bible real quick as we wrap it up. It's important to know stuff, but this is a big deal, right? In Luke chapter 24, there's a story that takes place. And if you go to the next slide, because I'm going to have to read it from the screen. It takes place right after, as we begin in Luke 24, is the resurrection. It's the disciples and Mary and all these people went to the tomb and it was empty. And they're freaking out because it's still the morning. Like, wait a second, Jesus was there. Did someone steal his body? Why isn't he there? You know, what's going on? The third day after his crucifixion. And so this is where the story picks up. Now that same day, two of them, which are disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus. This is the road to Emmaus, not the road to Damascus, which we talked about with Paul. To Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. By the way, Jerusalem is down here in Judea. And so they were going... they were down in Judea, traveling around, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened as they talked, everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So these disciples, followers of Jesus, were talking, going, what in the world? The body isn't there. Where is Jesus? He's dead. What happened? What's going on? So they're walking in Judea, talking about this. And Jesus appears with them, but they were kept from recognizing. They didn't realize it was him. And, you know, most of us are like, oh, hey, it's a dead guy. You know, typically that's not something we would do anyway. But in some miraculous, supernatural way, they did not recognize him. And so he asked them, Jesus said, what are you discussing together as you walk along? Well, they stood still and their faces were downcast because obviously this Jesus that they had been following for all these years was dead. And now the body's gone. I mean, talk about putting salt in the wound. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked Jesus, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know that has happened here in these days? Like, what are you, an idiot? Don't you know what's been going on? They crucified a big thing on the hill and took him and put him in the grave. I mean, don't you know anything about that? And Jesus, you know, playing dumb, having fun with them, saying, well, what things, he asked. And he goes on and says, well, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. So we were following this guy. We thought he is the Messiah. He's the one, and he's dead. So they went on and said, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Now remember, they're talking to Jesus, telling the story about Jesus to Jesus. And so they said he was alive. And so then Jesus said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Sometimes we're foolish too, you know, all the stuff that God has told us, how foolish we are in actually doing it. Actually believing what God has called us, what God has said to us, how God has told us to live, how faithless we are. He said to them, how foolish you've been. Don't you realize that did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? He says, you know, didn't Jesus have to die? That was the whole point. Did you not read your Bible? You're not following anything that we've been talking about? And then he goes on and says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Moses being the beginning of the Old Testament, beginning in Genesis, and with all the prophets, which is all the rest of the Old Testament, it says that Jesus, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. See, the deal is that all of the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, really points to the story that is unfolding about Jesus. And so as we go over all these different things and we're learning all this stuff, again, it's not just a head knowledge to walk away saying, yeah, I know that. But so that we get like, okay, if this is about Jesus, what does that mean? How does this work? What's going on? Why is it a big deal that, again, that Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman? Is that a big deal? Where was Jordan? Why was Jesus baptized? So this, why they crossed the Sea of Galilee on a boat, and there was a big storm that came up. Now, the Sea of Galilee, just for reference, is about 14 miles wide. Raystown Lake is about twice that in terms of length. It's 28 miles or so wide. So that's how big the Sea of Galilee is, just in terms of comparison. And so we want to learn all this stuff because the whole Bible, Genesis through Revelation, all 66 books, 39 and 27, are about Jesus. And just knowing stuff isn't the issue if we don't realize who it is we're supposed to know. So that's the overview of the New Testament today. We're going to come back next week and look more specifically at the Gospels and kind of what they're all about. And then we're going to look at the early church after that. And then we're going to look at the letters, the final week, which is also Word to the 80s Sunday. So dress like your favorite 80s. Why don't we close the word of prayer and then you guys can head out. Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to study your word and that you have given it to us. And that it's not just a neat book full of cool stories, but it's the story of you. And it's not just a story about a neat man, but the man who died for us, the man who is God, who came to this earth, died for us so that we may be saved, so that we may be redeemed, so that we may have hope, so that we may have life, not bound, not caught in our sin, not on our way to hell, but having hope through Jesus and your death on the cross and your resurrection from the grave. God, as we continue through this series, help us not just to walk away knowing stuff, but to have a deeper love for you, a deeper love for your word, which is the way you communicate to us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.